If you've ever gone to the farmer's market and returned home with a few items that, well, you had to Google to figure out what to do with, well, you're not alone. Fresh produce can be a fantastic thing this time of year, but we could all use a little help figuring out what to do with it.
Whether you're a gardener, a farmer's market shopper, a CSA shareholder, or a food enthusiast who's looking to make fresh produce a part of your regular meals, our guests on today's Food Friday might have some inspiration for you.
Jonna Perkins is a manager and farmer at Vermont Valley Community Farm, LLC in Blue Mounds, Wisconsin, where she farms alongside family. You may have heard her on the show before talking about ultra running. She's here today to talk fresh produce. Jonna, thanks for joining us today. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. Great to be here.
And we're also talking with Lauren Rudersdorf. She's also with us. She owns and operates Raleigh's Hillside Farm outside of Evansville with her husband, Kyle. Lauren, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so before we get into the fresh produce, I want to ask you a little bit about your backgrounds. And Lauren, let's start with you. Did you grow up in a place where fresh produce was a really important part of your family and your family's meals?
Yeah. Actually, I did. I lease land from my parents, so I'm farming where I grew up. So the whole farm way of life wasn't anything too unfamiliar to me. And my mom had this huge garden. She's an amazing cook. She's always, you know, when there's zucchini, she's putting zucchini in everything for 3 weeks straight. Mm. When there's tomatoes in everything for months straight. So yeah, I did get a really wonderful understanding of that early on.
Yeah. And Jonna, was that your story as well?
Well, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I did grow up in a family who cooked. My dad, my mom, my brother. I really can't remember a time where I didn't know how to cook. I also come from a family of hunters, so we were really always sourcing meat responsibly. My mother had a big garden, so food has always been a really big part of my life. But I didn't get into farming until I was 25.
And I want to talk more about that because I think I have a certain image of in my head of what farmers are. I'm seeing the both of you. It may not match up with what I had initially thought. So tell us a little bit more about how you both got into farming. And Jonna, we can start with you.
Sure. So it was pretty accidentally. My boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, it's his family farm. So I was dating him in the summer of 2005, and I went out to visit the farm and really fell in love with the experience. And a few years later, I was working there, and then a year later, I was married. So it all happened really fast. And growing up, I never imagined that I would be a farmer, but it's definitely become my life.
Yeah, and Lauren, how about you?
Yeah, and not thinking you were going to be a farmer when you started off on your kind of career path in life, that's actually really similar for me. Even though I grew up on a farm, I loved growing up there and I love the rural way of life, but I really thought like the small town's not for me. Rural life isn't for me. I'm going to go out and take on the world. And I went off to college and I had a wonderful time. I traveled a ton. And I went away to Ohio for a couple of years to a private school. And all of a sudden I realized like while I was gone, how much I missed home, how much I missed the beautiful rolling hills of Wisconsin, how much I just missed some of those like agricultural roots that I had that I didn't realize were important to me. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, I met my husband here in Madison. He was studying soil science. I was studying community environmental sociology. So that's public health and rural food systems and those kinds of things. And all of a sudden we realized like collectively we could try this new kind of farming. And we learned about the CSA model and we realized we could lease land from my parents to kind of change what farming meant to me as a kid. And that was really exciting.
So could you imagine yourself doing any other career at this point?
Not anymore. Yeah. Now that we're in it, it's hard to.
Yeah. So what are you growing on your farm?
We're a diverse vegetable operation growing primarily for CSA. So we are growing a ton of annual vegetables, everything from lettuce to zucchini to fennel to asparagus, kind of absolutely every veggie you can think of that grows here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And Jonna, how about you? What are you growing on your farm?
Well, we're currently in our spring season delivery period, so most of what we're harvesting is coming out of our hoop house. So lots of lettuces, spinach, arugula, radishes, turnips. And then once we get into the summer months, we'll be harvesting a lot more summer staples like sweet corn and tomatoes and potatoes, broccoli. And we also have some unique vegetables like kohlrabi and celeriac. So we grow about 50 different kinds of vegetables.
We are talking with Jonna Perkins and Laura Rudersdorf. It is Food Friday, and we are looking at fresh produce. And I want to get into more of some of the vegetables and the items that you were talking about. These are the things that we're starting to see at the farmer's market right about now. Myself, personally, I watch the farmer's market. I think, okay, like, here's some really cool stuff. I buy it. I take it home. Then I don't necessarily know what to do with it. Is this something that you hear from a lot of people? And I'm curious, when you go into the farmer's market, if you're looking for things, if you've got things in mind that you want to make, or it's like, I'm just going to get the items and I'm going to figure it out later.
Yeah, so Jonna and I are both CSA farmers primarily. So For us, that's a really common thing that I hear, because we are, CSA started as this concept of people invest in the farm and then they get a share of everything we grow and produce each week seasonally. So they're getting, you know, all of this great variety, like Jana mentioned, in the spring. They're getting rhubarb and asparagus, but they're also getting things they might not be familiar with, like bok choy and green garlic. And there's a lot of variety, and people do kind of get stumped with that. Mm-hmm. So for me, I find inspiration in that, kind of trying to put these things together that are in season at the same time and figuring out what flavors work together. And another great thing about this kind of CSA model is that we really want to encourage our members to use this abundance and be excited about this local food. So a lot of CSA farmers are also producing, they're providing newsletters to their members, which have recipe resources and links and storage tips. So it is definitely a common concern, and most CSA farmers are really trying to help educate their consumers.
I'm really glad that you brought that up. And Jana, I wanted to ask how you see the role of education in all of this. Oftentimes I would think the farmer grows the product, sends the product off, and then it's on to the next thing. But do you see a strong opportunity for an educational opportunity in all of this?
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the big roles of CSA. And that's one of the big reasons why a lot of farmers want to get involved with their community, is they see it as an opportunity to help people understand how to cook with these things that grow locally to them. So like Lauren said, we put out recipes, and we have outreach events. We have schools that come out and visit the farm and get to work alongside us. We also have a great worker share program, which is where members, it's kind of like a barter system. So in exchange for a share of produce, they get to come out and work on the farm and see how their food is really grown. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity for education, and farmers want to talk about it. That's why we're doing it. We want to have a conversation with the people who are eating our food. And if you find a farm that you like, you reach out and ask questions. Go to the farmer's market stand, talk to the farmer, they're right there. And you can ask them how they prepare food or what they would recommend you buy on that particular day.
And I would think that you're probably getting more interest from people these days wanting to know where their food is coming from and what the story is behind it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And John and I, again, we're really big into social media and sharing our story. I have a blog in addition to running the farm, like a food and storytelling blog, and people love that. They love understanding not only where their food comes from, but like what it actually takes. What's, you know, it hailed on our farm 3 weeks ago, and people, they want to understand those complexities and those difficulties that come into farming. And it's a really beautiful world we live in, that there's all these platforms to share that story.
Okay, so this is all great, but I wanted to get to some of the actual recipes now, and you were kind enough to bring a few with us today, and I want to start with you, Jana. You've got one for shepherd's pie with turnips and greens. Now, turnip is an ingredient that I'm a little unfamiliar with, I have to admit. What kind of flavor does this ingredient offer?
Sure. So the actual turnip itself has a really delicate, almost floral flavor, and you can eat it raw or it can be cooked, and it cooks pretty much like a carrot. So that's the great thing about cooking, is once you understand one vegetable, it helps you understand another. So, later in the season, you'll see my shepherd's pie has carrots in it now, or it have celeriac in it. But this time of year, it's turnips. So turnips have a really mild flavor, and then the green is also edible. So the green can be cooked down just like kale or spinach, and that gets put into the shepherd's pie. And we still have potatoes that we're storing over from last season, so I eat potatoes year-round. They're a huge staple of my diet, and so this is just one of my favorite meals to cook for my family.
And do you have a lot of those recipes where you kind of have the base or the backbone of it, and then really you're just kind of like changing out the ingredients as the season goes along?
That's pretty much how I cook. Yeah.
And this is just one where you can kind of take what you have, toss it in the casserole, put it in the oven, and that's pretty much it?
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
It's super simple. It's really hard to mess up.
And so you blog about these recipes. Where can people go to find more information about some of the stuff that you're working on?
Sure. So I don't do much food blogging. That's Lauren does the food blogging. But I do a lot of food photography, and I share simple tips on the Vermont Valley Instagram page and my own Instagram account as well. But Lauren has an amazing food blog called The Leek and the Carrot.
Thanks, Jana.
And we'll actually get into that blog and a recipe from that in just a few moments, but just wanted to take a moment to say that we are talking with Jonna Perkins. She's a manager and farmer at Vermont Valley Community Farm, LLC in Blue Mounds. And Lauren Rudersdorf is with us as well. She owns and operates Raleigh's Hillside Farm outside of Evansville.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are some of your favorite dishes to make with fresh produce in your CSA or your garden, or maybe with your farmer market, your farmer's market buys? Is there a time you bought something on a whim only to later realize you had no idea what to do with it? And if you don't have a lot of experience with seasonal cooking, what kind of questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234, or comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation in just a moment here on Central Time.
Right now, we continue the conversation about incorporating fresh produce into your cooking on this week's Food Friday. Joining us are two Wisconsin farmers. We have Jonna Perkins. She is the manager and farmer at Vermont Valley Community Farm, LLC in Blue Mounds. And Lauren Rudersdorf owns Raleigh's Hillside Farm outside of Evansville.
And we'd like to take your questions, too, at 800-642-1234. Do you have a few go-to dishes for fresh produce? What do you do when you've got too many of one thing growing in your garden? Is there a vegetable that has you thinking creatively about what to do with it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment or question over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Lauren, I think one of the things that I return to time and time again for healthy lunches are salads. Maybe get a little tired of salads after a while. And it seems like dressing is a really good way to spice that up. And one of the recipes that you shared with us is a homemade green goddess dressing, which sounds awesome. I have to admit, I have the Kraft green goddess dressing in my refrigerator. I can almost promise you that it doesn't taste anywhere near as good as what you make. Tell us about this recipe.
Yeah, it's actually a brand new recipe to me that I just developed a couple weeks ago. I'm kind of always testing and trying new recipes because I know the ingredients that my CSA members find challenging. So I'm always kind of playing with those and trying to figure out new things. And lettuce and salad is actually a hard thing. We're giving a ton of lettuce in the spring. I had every week for like 6-7 weeks. And after a while, salad gets boring. You want to spice it up a little bit. I'm obsessed with this local restaurant, Forage. We actually sell produce to them, and they had this green goddess dressing that was amazing. And I was like, I need to figure this out. I'm gonna try this at home. And we had a ton of basil that we were trimming off some seedlings, and I put 2 cups of basil in there. I mixed it with Greek yogurt because we had that in our fridge. We had some ramps that someone generously gave us, and I just kind of like threw these flavors together, some olive oil, some apple cider vinegar. I put Worcestershire in it one time. I didn't another time. I think that was pretty much it. Maybe some lemon juice. And it was all of a sudden just this like bright, herbaceous, like amazing, amazing dressing that then I got to throw on a salad of greens and roasted asparagus and potatoes. And all of a sudden I was eating yogurt and vegetables on top of more vegetables. And I was surprised that it was so good. So that one is a real winner in my book. And it's really wonderful because it's versatile too. If you have scallions or shallots, you could put that in instead of the ramps. If you have cilantro and dill, you could put that in instead of the basil or a combination of herbs. So I think it brightens things up. It's fun.
And if this is something that someone wants to do at home, are they able to find all the ingredients that they would need for this at their local grocery store or farmer's market or their CSA even?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And again, because it's so versatile, if you have fresh basil at home, that's great. But if you see some herbs at market that look really good or a farmer recommends, you know, grab some of those instead. As long as you have, you know, something garlicky or something oniony and some herbs with that Greek yogurt and lemon juice, it's going to really come together.
And that's really going to blow my store brand company name that I won't say just out of the water. I mean, do you experiment with other kinds of salad dressing as well? I'm sure you have a lot of, you know, ingredients on hand at all times. Is this something that you've experimented with a lot?
All the time. Because same problem that everyone has, that in the spring, I'm bombarded with all these greens and I want to eat the stuff that's, you know, fresh from my fields, but I get bored of just the same old salads too. So we're experimenting. One kitchen tool that I think is essential is a food processor. You can make so many things in there. So I'm just like throwing things in my food processor and tasting it and then adjusting it again. And it's really fun.
Well, I've got a lot more questions, but I also want to bring in our listeners at 800-642-1234 with their questions and comments. And we'll go to Ellie in Oconomowoc. Ellie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my phone call. I have a question. Last fall at the farmer's market, I bought something called patty pan squash. And I'm like, I'm kind of adventurous at food, and I'm like, I'm going to take this home and figure out what to do with it. Well, I never did. I'm just wondering if you could tell me, like, how do you cook that and what does it taste like? Because I might try it again.
Okay, well, the patty pan is a really cute little squash. It's actually, my farm name is Lil Patty Pan, so that's my nickname on the farm. It looks like a spaceship, and it can be yellow or it can be like a really light green. And the skin is edible, so all you really need to do is chop off the end where the stem was, and you could eat it raw. You can chop it up and put it in a stir fry. You could bake with it. But it will hold up nice when it's cooked. So you just want to cube it and use it like you would with zucchini. So it is a summer squash.
So not so much like a butternut squash, but something you'd use more in place of a zucchini.
Right. Yep, it's a summer squash. So okay. The skin is edible. It can be eaten raw. It'll just hold the flavor of whatever you've cooked with it.
All right. So, well, Elliot, hopefully that was helpful. Thank you so much for your call. And next, we're going to go to Gary, who is in Madison. Gary, hi.
Hi.
What would you like to ask, Gary?
My question is just about a CSA, and what would be in a typical package, and what time of year does the CSA run?
Good question, Gary. Lauren, you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So every CSA is a little bit different, but generally they're anywhere from like 18 to 26 weeks, the seasons are. Jonas Farm's a little different. Vermont Valley breaks it into three different seasons, a spring, a summer, and a fall. We do one season. It's 20 weeks. It starts June 6th, ends October 17th, 18th, somewhere there. And you know, the box varies every single week based on what's in season. That's a really fun thing about a CSA. You start to learn what is seasonal and what is local to Wisconsin. But a typical spring share right now, we're preparing for our first box, and it'll be bok choy, lettuce, scallions, maybe some green garlic, radishes, rhubarb, asparagus, maybe some kale. That's been growing really fast with all this rain. A lot of greens in June, a lot of greens.
And speaking of greens, oh, by the way, Gary, thank you so much for your call. I hope that was helpful. Generally, though, where do people go for more information? Let's say they're interested in signing up for a CSA and they're not sure where to start. Jonna, where is a good place for someone to go for more resources on that topic?
Sure. Well, there's a great nonprofit here in Madison called Fair Share CSA Coalition. Lauren and I have both been involved with the coalition for years. Fair Share can help people one-on-one if they have individual questions about farms, or there's a really great database on their website, and there's great search tools. You can select different features that you want, different delivery dates. It can be based on your geographic location, where you want to pick up your share. So there's a lot to consider when you're choosing a farm, and the Fair Share CSA Coalition website is a really great tool. Otherwise, word of mouth. Ask around. A lot of people in Madison have been part of a CSA farm, or they currently are, and I think getting those firsthand recommendations is probably the best way to go.
We are talking about fresh produce here on Food Friday. Still time for your questions at 800-642-1234. And while we wait for your call, I want to ask about one or two more of your recipes. And I want to go to the rhubarb margaritas because I want to make sure that we have time for that. Lauren, this is a recipe that you shared with us, so I'm totally on board with this. But rhubarb is not necessarily... I know when you get rhubarb, like, you get rhubarb. You get a lot of it. I never thought to make a margarita with it. Tell us a little bit about this recipe.
Yeah, rhubarb is something, again, that I experiment with because the first pound or two you give a CSA member, they're making rhubarb crisp, they're making rhubarb pie, they're making desserts, they're really happy with it, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, now I'm not sure what to do anymore. Or for people who have their own plants, they know that problem very well. So this is just a really fun recipe because, I don't know, last year I started drinking my vegetables, I guess. I started experimenting a lot with cocktails like a cucumber, basil, I think was mojito maybe, and things like that. So the rhubarb margarita is really simple. I probably use my food processor, but you wouldn't have to. I just essentially created a puree out of the rhubarb and some sugar and some honey, reduced it down on the stove and then I strained it out. So you just get the syrup out of there. And then you just blend it with things that you put in a normal margarita. So tequila and a simple syrup and lime juice, essentially.
And I should say that we have all the recipes that we've talked about today on our Food Friday webpage at WPR.org. So check out that site for the recipe for rhubarb margaritas and the shepherd's pie and everything else that we've talked about. Oh, the green goddess dressing. How could I leave that out? I want to make sure we get time for one more call. Karen is with us in Appleton with a question. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling for, I guess, more ideas. Last summer at the Green Bay Farmers Market, I bought Romanesco from a Mennonite stand. Beautiful vegetable. I oven roasted it, but just wondering what else I can do with it.
Okay. Great care. Question, Karen. I don't even know what Romanesco is. Jana, Lauren, what do you think?
You know, we don't grow Romanesco, and I don't have a lot of cooking tips for that one.
We don't grow it either, and that's actually the most traditional thing that I've seen done with it is that it's roasted. And those things, they're fun to... I like roasting vegetables is my go-to, and then again, making some sort of amazing sauce in my food processor and throwing it on. So that's kind of my best recommendation. But it tastes kind of like a broccoli and a cauliflower crossed. So you did the right thing with it.
Well, Karen, I'll tell you what. We're going to look into Romanesco. Maybe that's a topic that we can explore on a future Food Friday. Well, in our last minute or so, I want to ask, a lot of people are going to be grilling out this weekend, having celebrations. What's a great thing that they can whip up if they just go to their local farmer's market looking for vegetables for a great side dish, maybe even a meal that would complement whatever they're going to have on Memorial Day?
Yeah, that's a great question, and another one of my go-to things. You can grill any vegetable. Just try it. You really can. I grilled cabbage last summer. It was amazing. You can get a bunch of scallions and grill them up. Asparagus grilled is wonderful. Just buy whatever looks good and throw it on the grill, and you'll be happy.
What do you think, Jana?
Yeah, we do a lot of grilling in our house, especially in the summer when we just want to be outside. I'll even do my preparations outside on the deck, and then my husband has the grill going with, you know, some steaks or some brats. We grill scallions. I've put a head of lettuce on the grill before. You cut the end off, drizzle it with some olive oil and some really nice salt and pepper. Anything can go on the grill. This is a great time of year for salads as well. I know Lauren shared that great recipe, but a salad doesn't have to just be limited to greens. You can grate any vegetable onto that. And you can even put warm vegetables onto a cold salad, which we do that a lot in our house as well.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for letting me come on.
Thanks so much.
Jana Perkins is farm manager at Vermont Valley Community Farm LLC in Blue Mounds. She writes about her farm and ultra-running life at theultrafarmer.com. And Lauren Rudersdorf owns and operates Raleigh's Hillside Farm outside of Evansville. You can find these recipes and much more over on our website at wpr.org/foodfriday.